the human being, insan, any task of the world, the most important thing then for the human being to carry out a task in the world is to make effort, is to try hard to make effort. Without effort, without working hard, a human being can never be successful. Even if you have to carry out a small task, it is necessary to make effort. The first condition for a human being is to make effort, to try hard in order to attain the objective. In the same way, this is with regards to the hereafter, that when a human being, with regards to the hereafter, the first thing for a human being to consider and do is to make effort. But effort on its own for a human being, it cannot give success to the human being. Effort on its own is not enough. You need another thing on top of effort, and that is you need the right track, the right path for the human being. For example, you are going to London and you're working hard, making effort to get to London, but your direction is wrong. So will you arrive to London or will you get to Glasgow? Tell me, you'll arrive to Glasgow. Oh, I tried my best. You'll say, I worked hard, I got up early in the morning, I put petrol in the car, I did this. But I don't know what happened. I tried despite my efforts. I couldn't read. I went to Glasgow instead of London. Why? Because you can fulfill the condition of effort, no doubt. But the other condition, which is the right direction. The right direction. So if you have the right direction, then you don't even need to work as hard. You can make less effort. You can make less effort. But because the direction automatically will take you to the destination, to the end point, the right direction. So both of these things, for example, there's a person, he's preparing for a subject. For a subject. An exam. Chemistry exam, and he's studying physics. He's going to give the chemistry exam. He has to give the chemistry exam and he's revising physics. So will he pass or will he fail? Will he pass or will he fail? Then, because the preparation or revision he did was for physics. He didn't revise for chemistry. So how can he pass in chemistry if he's revising the physics? So this shows that the right direction, if a person is not following the right direction, then the human being cannot attain success. And deen is a very straightforward point with regards to the deen, this example. Now what we need to see and determine is that we all have a destination. We all have, whoever you ask, and that destination is to attain success, falah, falah. Everyone, we have iman, the basis of our iman, and we've been told and we have a belief on this, that this world is temporary. Everything is a test, a challenge for the human being. Issues, worries, problems, difficulties, ups and downs will come. But our objective is that in this world we have to leave this world a successful falah. In the Quran, Allah has used this word, falah. Success. So every man knows that we need to attain success. And what is success? Subhanallah. Success is defined as, the sooner as our eyes close, mashallah, straight direction towards paradise. Straight direction. Yes, we shouldn't even think about hell. We shouldn't even be aware of hell. Straight to paradise. And this is falah, success. And this could also be the case that we'll go to Jannah, but on the way, we'll go via hell to get to Jannah. This can also be a path in it, but that's not the definition of falah. The real falah, success, is direct, straightforward. The eyes closed, death, and he sees paradise. Here's your door, end of the world, and here's your palace and your house. Allah Ta'ala wants this from us, that we go direct to paradise. And this is falah. This is the definition of success. This is what we need to attain. Now, what are we doing to attain this falah? Every man's trying or not, is he? Is he not trying? I come to pray salah. Why? I want to get a success falah. You go do Hajj, Zakah, all the actions you do, Talawah, recitation, everything we do. What's our objective? Then thereafter, we attain Falah, success. With ease, we go to paradise. What's Falah? The definition? That there's no accounting, no reckoning, there's no punishment of hell, angels don't turn their face on us, we don't get azab of the qabr, no punishment in the grave, no difficulties, no distress, no issues, and we laugh and smile and walk into paradise. Definition of Falah. This is Falah. So, we have to make effort, and we make effort, alhamdulillah. So what we need to see and analyze is one thing. Just like I mentioned two things. One is we need to make effort, and one is we need the right direction. Both things hand in hand. So we're making effort, mashallah, with Allah's fadl, all our small scale, whatever ibadah we do, actions, we are making effort. But the next thing we need to see is our direction correct or not? Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Day and night, we're working hard, making effort, umrah, hajj, and this and that, and we're trying hard, praying tahajjud, doing dhikr, and mujahidat, and effort, and striving. But is my direction correct? Is it the right direction? This is what I need to determine. It's a big point, isn't it? Yes, otherwise my efforts will go to waste. It's just the same, like going to London, traveling, but I get to Glasgow instead. So the Quran has explained everything to us clearly, hasn't it, the Quran? So Allah Ta'ala has given us the direction through the Quran, subhanAllah. And beautiful few words or statements have given us the direction. Allah says, if you want falah, yes, Allah says, then work hard, but go on the right track, the right direction, the right route. And this is the right route, Allah says. Apart from this, there will be no correct route. And what is that? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا سُبْحَانَهُ. There are two points, isn't it? This is Quran. The Quran is telling us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. If you want success, فَلَا. I told you what is فَلَا. Without any reckoning, without any hurdles, from the grave to the hereafter, with enjoyment to arrive into paradise, this is فَلَا. And what is Allah says in the Quran to get falah? Just one word Allah says. What is that? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. If you want to attain success, falah, Allah says, then do one action. What is it? That's it. Allah Ta'ala says, purify yourself, clean yourself, keep yourself pure. Wah, subhanAllah. Your batin, internal self should be clean, and your zahir should be, external self should be clean. That's all Allah said. And what is Allah Ta'ala told us? What's the amal? What's the action? What do we need to do to attain falah success? Purity. Purity, cleanliness. So what do we need to make effort on? What do we need to make effort on? What do we need to work hard on? Well, Allah Ta'ala has prescribed it. Allah says, if we don't work hard on this factor, then it's the same example. We're given the exam of chemistry, and we're revising which subject? Physics. The wrong one. The wrong one. So if we want falah, success in the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala prescribes, explains, Allah says, I'll explain to you very easy method to attain falah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah says, purify yourself, clean yourself, keep yourself clean, pure. Do you understand? Now this is our direction. After this, we don't need to work hard on any other condition. We need to try to remain and be pure and clean. Okay. So what is it that makes somebody impure and dirty, and how do we purify ourselves? Next point, isn't it? The human being, his batin, inner self, his inner state, what makes him impure, dirty? What is it that makes us dirty inside, impure? In the hadith it stated that the human being in his batin, the thing that makes him impure, dirty, and immediately makes him dirty inside, immediately at that time, such a dirty thing it is. What is that thing? Sin. Sin. Guna. Guna. Sin. Evil actions. Evil actions, sins are so dangerous. As soon as a person commits a sin, inside that dot is applied to him inside. As soon as he commits a sin, inside another dot. Black dot. So sin makes a person impure. So what does Allah say in the Quran? That if you want success, falah, then you need to stay pure. So we got the message now. That if you want to attain success, how? Save yourself from sins. Save yourself from sins. This is the direct connection. And whoever works hard on this, makes effort on this, to leave the sins, direct mujahidah effort is this. This is the method. Apart from this, everything else is running around. We're doing the wrong effort then, if we're not doing this. So on this point and method, we need to work hard that I am not going to commit any sins, because due to sins I will make myself impure and dirty inside. And if I'm dirty inside due to sins, then I cannot get success. How can I be success if I'm committing the sins? Now the nafs and my desires and shaitan, what game do they play with us? They make us change direction. Yeah? They allow us to make effort, but they change our route. They make us pray nafl, do hajj, recite Quran, lots of worship. Shaitan and nafs. And on top of that, he makes the human being also commit the sins in parallel. So will that individual be successful? How can he be successful? He can't be, because his revision is wrong. His preparation is wrong. What's he, the human being, preparing with to attain success? Through immense worship, extra worship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is that human being doing? Through excess of worship, he wants to attain success. So he has increased his worship and prayers, and today mostly we have this in our lives. Mostly we have this in our lives, that we emphasize and worship like a person, he wants to be pious and good. First and foremost, he'll do this first. He'll start tahajjud, he'll start praying ishraq, awabin salam, he'll do other actions, he'll give sadaqah charity, he'll do this and that. Alhamdulillah, very good thing. Very good thing, very important. But what is this? He is making effort, but alongside and parallel, the other factor, that when he commits the sins and inside makes him dirty, he does that on top as well in parallel. He lies at the same time. He gets angry all the time. He swears. He backbites. He says bad about others. On top he says, okay, hundreds of sins, you can pick anyone. So tell me, that will this person be following the path of success? So shaitan has given us all the wrong direction. That work hard on worship. Just worship ibadah. Worship ibadah. This is shaitan's prescription. Do ibadah kathir. Doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference if you sin, says shaitan. Do ibadah as much as you want. Worship as much as you want. This is his tactic. Nawafil fast, nafil hajj, nafil this action, nafil this, nafil that. Kathir ibadah, shaitan will make you make. So you're working hard, fantastic effort, but you're on the wrong path, the wrong direction, the wrong subject you're revising. Now when your eyes close, you say, huh? The look inside you, Allah Ta'ala says, he who is pure and clean, he will attain success, Allah Ta'ala says. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So we are on the wrong track. The wrong path. What is the right direction? That despite ibadat, worship, even if they're less in your life, doesn't matter, doesn't make any difference. Even if your ibadah, worship is less in quantity, but 100% full effort should be made to leave the sins, to save yourself from sin. This is the right track. If you see a human being, his ibadah is less, his ibadah is weak, his worship is very weak indeed, small, minuscule, but he is cautious about sins, so careful about sins, every second, every moment, he wants that, I don't want to commit a sin, I want to be saved from the sins, protected from the sins. He is the successful human being. He is the, do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? We sat together, colleagues discussing, not here, some wali Allah sat here, someone's pious, a ghawth, a kutub. MashaAllah, we're all just the same. We're in the ditch. You're better. I just speak about myself. Yes? So this is something good I'm understanding. Allah Ta'ala is making us understand something good at the moment. That maybe until today we thought that ibadah will give us success, and this is a small thing, leaving sins. It doesn't matter if I backbite, or it doesn't matter if I say bad to somebody or do bad to somebody. It doesn't make a difference. All night long I worship. All night long I pray tahajjud. I pray shirak as well. I pray nafal salah. I kept a fast today. Voluntary fast. Optional fast. It doesn't matter if I sin. We say this, don't we? Maybe until today we had this concept. But Allah's law is different. Allah's principle. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. If you want success, what should you do? Stay pure, clean. This is what I like, Allah says. The pious predecessors have said, not my statements, I'm speaking, I'm repeating the statements of our pious predecessors, our akabareen, our elders. They've stated that if any individual performs hajj, and gives zakah and charity and prays a lot of nafal salah, does lots of optional worship, but he's not cautious about leaving the sins. Compared to him is another person, he doesn't do extra worship, he's weak in worship, he doesn't do extra. But on the other factor, he's very meticulous, he doesn't break anybody's heart, subhanAllah. He doesn't pester anybody, he doesn't give anyone distress, he doesn't backbite against anyone. He doesn't lie to people. He doesn't give false statements about people. He doesn't blame people incorrectly. So who will attain success? Stated, he who does a lot of ibadah, and everyone in the world says, oh look, he's pious, he's worshipping, he's praying, he's always in wudu, he's always doing hajj every year. They are praising him, people. Person number one, praising him. But who does Allah Ta'ala give success to? The second person, who's protecting himself from the sins. Who is leaving the sins. So the right direction is this. What is the right effort, alhamdulillah? That as much effort as we make in ibadah worship, where should we work harder on? On leaving the sins, that I shouldn't commit any sins. That more I try, the more I try, all my worship will go to waste if I sin at the same time. Because I've wasted all my actions, my efforts. I've destroyed myself. Success and failure is in that 100% we will leave the sins. 100% we will leave backbiting. 100% no. No, وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى says, Subhanallah. Allah says, just try. That's all you have to do is try, Subhanallah. Try, and Allah has given the reward for trying. وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Allah says, what you should do is make me a today intention that, yaar, I've understood today the definition of the right path. Let me now try a bit. That, you know, I'm running after worship. Let me make this cool, this action of ibadah, cool it down, calm it down, leave all this recitation, put this to the side. Now I need to see, what do I need to put effort in? Leaving the sins. Working hard on the morning till night. Morning till evening, my list of sins, it should be no sins. I should reduce it, suppress it. The way in the night when you go to retire, when you wake up in the morning, after wake up in the morning, you say, Allah, today my day started, and today I will try and make effort that I will not commit any sins. Make a niyyah. Make the intention. Make a pact. I'm not going to commit sins. I'm not going to do wrong. This is my today's efforts. So what is this? وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Allah says, this is your working hard. Allah, I'm weak. Allah, I'm weak, but I'm saying I won't do the sins. Allah, I'm saying I won't pester anybody. I won't lie. Why? What do I have against anybody else? I should be worried about myself. Look at myself. I should look inside myself. I would worry about myself. Doesn't matter what anyone else does, what the neighbor does, or the person in my locality does. Why should I be worried about and bothered about them? Why should I pester and poke my nose into their affairs? All things that are sin, whatever you define as sin, Allah, whatever you said, don't do. Today I make a promise with you, Allah, in the morning, that today, during this day, I will not commit this sin. Wajadu, then your jadu, your effort has started that day. It's not that you will be successful till the evening. Allah says, when you promised me, you made an intention, وَجَدُوا فِينَا, then Allah says, لَنَهْدِيَنَهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah says, that's the condition. That when you have made this promise, Allah says, I will always assist you and help you in this path, Allah says. Yes, Allah says, I'll assist you, I'll help you. سُبُلَنَا. Not subul. Subul is one path. سُبُلَنَا, Allah says, I'll show you the ways to get to me. The ways to get to me. The paths, many ways. What a great statement, what a great reward. Allah says that you have now followed the right direction, the right path. You've said the right niyyah. You didn't say, Allah, I'm going to pray this much today, do this ibadah, this much nafil. Allah Ta'ala is not asking us to say this. Has Allah ever said this anywhere? No, Allah has not said this anywhere. But where, when a person speaks about the right path, that Allah the sins, this is my sin and this is the right direction for me to attain Allah's nearness for the right path. Allah Ta'ala immediately says, you are now on the right path. You made intention to leave the sins. I'll help you, Allah Ta'ala says. So I will enable you to continue on that right path with the signs, subulan. Say Subhanallah. So in the morning when a person wakes up, he should make intention that Allah, I'm not going to commit this sin. First condition, if you do this, then Allah Ta'ala says, you make a connection with me, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا. That's it. Allah says, good, you're on the right path, you've started your effort, hard work. And success or failure, no worries about that. You've made niyyah, got the right intention, I'm not going to do this, Allah. Allah Ta'ala will change the heart of that person then. You know, the heart of a human being is in Allah's control, isn't it? It's in Allah's control. The heart is in Allah's control. Why does Allah create love and dislike, and Allah Ta'ala instills bughz into the heart? Allah makes it happy, makes it distressed or sad. Allah is running all the affairs, isn't it? And the Muslim has this yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala, everything is running with Allah's order. Is there anything in the world that is going and running without Allah's order? Bidhnillah. Everything is, Allah says, soon as I intend, kun fayakun. When I say be, it becomes. That's it. Everything's in my control. Everything runs with my instruction. That's it. So Allah Ta'ala has praised Himself and said, there's nothing difficult for me. Nothing's hard for me. Allah says that if I want something to occur, kun, immediately it occurs. It becomes. So, for us it's a very good learning here. Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for us. Wake up in the morning, promise to Allah, Allah, I want to travel along the right path, the right road, the right route. I don't want to commit the sins. Forget about ibadah. Because in the evening, if I go to my bed, and alhamdulillah, I assess my day, and I stayed true to my promise, then Allah will say, Fala, qad aflaha ma zakaha. You will go into paradise laughing and smiling. No worries at all for you. No worries at all for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Subhanallah. So brothers, ibadah in excess, excessive ibadah doesn't mean just fasting and doing ibadah. No, faraid and wajibat and sunnah mu'akkada. This is what we need to work hard on. Yes, kathir ibadah. You know when you pray salah, nafal, that's kathir ibadah. Excess, you keep a fast. That's an optional fast. Zakat, then sadaqat comes after. You don't want hajj fard, then hajj upon hajj. Umrah. This is excess after what is necessary. You have to prevent those things. Don't go too much on that. And work harder on what? Leaving the sins. Leaving the sins. Faraid, the compulsory you need to do. And wajibat you need to implement. And sunnah muakkada you need to implement. You have to do this because these are fard and compulsory on us. Fard, wajib, sunnah muakkada are compulsory. That's enough if you can't do after that. Yes, I will tell you hadith to explain further. Then you'll understand more this point. There was an Arabi, a very famous hadith this is. He was from the rural, like a village, a rural dwelling person. And they were people who weren't that sort of literate, and they used to come to the Holy Prophet. Their style was direct. They didn't know about protocol, formalities, or manners. They just come like this. Villagers, people from the countryside. He came direct. Sahaba Karam, noble companions, were said, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum. Ya Rasulullah, he said this. Sahabi said, I've come to learn the deen. This is the meaning of the hadith I'm telling you. So Allah's Nabi says, mashallah, he would embrace everybody. He loved everyone, whether it was an enemy or friend. This was his style, his mannerism. He didn't say, who are you, who are you not, who are you? He didn't take anything badly. Whoever came, whoever spoke, whatever manner, style, alhamdulillah. He didn't take anything bad, negative. And even people before that, he threw his cloak around the Holy Prophet's neck and pulled on it. But the Prophet continued to smile. He never said bad. So he came and he said, that, oh, give me now, that man said, who pulled on the Prophet's neck. He said, give me sadaqah, give me money. He said, it's finished. So I'll give you. No, I want to take it. You distributed this money. He's screaming. The Prophet said, okay, fine. Then the Prophet said, fine. And at that time, from others, he took a loan and he gave to that person who was asking. Subhanallah. So this was his style. So he came, this person. Tell me, what is the deen? Tell me the deen. And the Prophet ﷺ replied, what is the deen? What is Islam? He said. The Prophet ﷺ defined Islam to him. After that, he said, what if I come into Islam? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, then you have to do the action, salah. And just salah, is there anything else after salah? The Prophet ﷺ, no, 5 times salah. And the rest is up to you, want to pray or not. But salah is 5 times. That's it. That's the fard. That's enough. Anything else after that? The Prophet said, no, just 5 salah. No ishraq, no awabin, tahajjud, nothing. The 5 times salah. Okay, what else do I have to do? He asked. The Prophet said, fasting, how many? 30. Is there any more? The Prophet said, no, that's it. No nafil, nothing optional extra. Just these 30 fasts you have to implement. And he said, the rest? He said, no. And it's up to you if you keep more than that, but that's it. These are the fard. Okay, 5 times salah, 30 fast. And zakat, yes, this is how much zakat you have to give. And the Prophet ﷺ defined after that, nothing on top of that, nothing extra to that, which is necessary. Hajj, once. And that is if you have the funds and you can spend them on the hajj. He said, yep, these are the 5 pillars. Apart from this, any other action after you? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, nothing else. There is a lot more you could do. There's a lot more you could do. But this is the necessary. You have no need to do. This is enough for you if you want to do just this much. That's it. The rest you could do over and above that. Save yourself from the sins and as much as you can. He said, okay, wallahi, he was an Arab. Mashallah, Arabi villager. He said, wallahi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I swear by Allah, my parents, may they be sacrificed upon you. He said this in front of everybody. Inshallah, I won't do less than this and I won't do more than this. Subhanallah. And he said this and he wrapped his cloak around him. He stood up and Allah's Nabi smiled. and said, this man who's leaving, departing, this villager, if he stays true to his promise, his word. And the Prophet said to the Sahaba Ikram, and the Sahaba telling us, and I'm telling you, subhanallah, the words continue. Yeah, I don't take it out from behind me or in my pocket. From my pocket, it's from the hadith. So the Allah Ta'ala created this assembly and I am sharing this hadith with you. And whoever's heart is open will accept this hadith. Whoever's heart is sealed says, no, I don't accept. It's your choice if you believe or not. Can't force anyone. Is anyone forcing anybody here? No. It's your choice. My choice. Allah's told us. Allah's Rasul has told us. This is deen. Oh, I don't believe this. Don't believe if you don't want. Oh, I believe this. Alhamdulillah, if you believed it, you believed it. And the next step is up to the individual. It's up to him. Does he want to practice it? Allah Ta'ala says, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah says, I don't force the deen on into anybody. Allah's given us that news up front. Allah gives you the communication and gives you the direction. Allah's given you full option. You can become a Jew, Nasara, disbeliever, idol worshipper. Your choice. But Allah says, I have distributed the knowledge to you. I will tell you, this is my deen, Allah says. Oh, if I don't accept that deen, then that's your choice. Allah says, nobody's forcing you, pulling you, grabbing you, throwing shoes on you. No Nabi will come and kill you. No one will say nothing to you. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah says, nobody is forced against his nafs. This is the case, isn't it, brothers? And this is also tabligh. This is tabligh. The pious predecessors, the tabligh they give. My Hazrat never said to me, do this, do this, do this. No, he explained to me, if you do this, this is the benefit. If you don't do this, you'll get this much benefit, this much thawab Allah will give to you. Oh, I can't do it, I don't want to. Don't do it if you don't want to do it. Yeah, no fighting, squabbling. Is there something to squabble about here? If I'm explaining to you something, hadith, and if you say, I'm not going to do it, then don't do it. Why should I try? I don't want to do this, I'll do other things. Okay, it's your choice. But the hadith that has arrived to me, what the pious predecessors have told me, then I'm just sharing with you, communicating to you. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah, why are you upset? There's nothing to be upset, nothing to argue about, fight about. If you don't want to accept or believe, don't believe. It's your choice. If you believe it, then it's benefit for you. Not benefit for me, is it? That and the good for me thing is that if you accept, then, for example, you'll get Jannah if you accept. Or will you give me your hoors and Jannah? Yes, subhanallah. Have you said that, Hazrat Sahib, after I believe what you're saying, the hoors you will get, this effort that Allah has given you, root qadha fla man zakah, you'll go direct into Jannah, you'll get the paradise and the mansions and the houses. Will you give these things to me when you get there? You won't even ask me. Say, oh, forget it, yaro. This is mine. Oh, even if he's gone down into the ditch, leave him. So it's benefits for you in it. The person, whoever is listening. So accepting, believing. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah said to his Nabi Sallam, Qul, Qul in kuntum tu. You, oh my Nabi Sallam, just tell them, explain. That's it. He didn't say force them, pull them. Don't persecute them. Why are you upset for them? Allah said. Why are you upset for them? Why are you distressed with these people? Whether they do or don't, you have no relationship with them. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a deen we've been given. And everyone who does tabligh should have this style. Yes, don't run after him with a stick. No, you must do, If you don't, this will happen. No. Do dua that our heart opens up, unravels, that the words of Allah and His Rasul, that they penetrate into our hearts. Penetrate. We don't reject them. Do dua. You know, like the stomach, the upset stomach. Why does a person vomit? Ulti. Why does a person vomit? Two men sitting, one's eating palau, the other one's eating palau. He's eaten, he's vomited, the other one's fine. Why? Because when he went into his stomach, in one stomach accepted that palau rice. The other stomach rejected that palau rice, so he vomited that food. Yes, same way Allah's deen, we are listening, there's a big gathering, and there's a speaker, lecturer giving tabligh, wali Allah speaking. There are all different types of hearts amongst the people. Some hearts, they accept that food, those words, they enjoy it, and some they vomit it out. They reject it, they don't digest the deen. They don't like the deen. So this is liking, disliking, it's a personal state of affairs, a personal condition. That's why Islam says, we don't force anyone, you don't need to force anybody. It's his choice. It's his personal affair. Yes? Explain whether he accepts or not. So this is the case. Allah Ta'ala explained the deen. This is the path. This is the path. And through this path you'll attain success. Whether you accept or not, your choice. Whoever accepts, he'll automatically see with his own eyes. And alhamdulillah, in the akhirah, you'll see I've got the success because the Quran is prescribing, hadith is saying, Rasulullah is telling us everything. And the Arabi came, the villager came, he was told the five pillars, he said, fine. So Allah Ta'ala, they gave the stamp of approval. That whoever wants to see a person of paradise, look at him, he's a person of paradise. If he stays true to his word and he doesn't take a U-turn. So here we get the proof and the lesson that if a human being, alhamdulillah, is weak, we're in a weak generation. You know, we see that this generation we're living in, we are very weak indeed in this era, this day and age. It's hard for us to do amal, to do mujahada, make effort. We accept this. It's hard for us to do so much practice and amal and worship. Yeah. Time is short. And it's a scientific age, lot of noise and clamor, people are running around, dunya spreading, multiplying, but we still have to practice the deen, or do we leave the deen? Yes? Eventually we still have to ultimately practice for the akhirah, we can't leave that. So according to that, Allah has given us a very easy prescription, said Rasulullah SAW, that pray salah 5 times a day, just 5 times salah, no ishraq, no tahajjud, no need to do anything else on top of that. Not necessary. 5 times salah. And the other things that have been prescribed, the fara'id, implement them. If you don't have any courage to do more, then no problem. But the real crux of the matter, which is sin, which will give dirt and you won't be pure due to the sins. Sins will make you impure and dirty. Then save yourself from the sins. Leave the sins. Discard the sins. Don't commit the sins. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And you'll attain success. You'll become successful. And we keep on doing sin upon sin upon sin. We'll keep on doing sin, say it's hard, I keep to sin. And the hard action, which is to do ibadah, which is harder than sinning, we'll wake up for tahajjud, we'll keep the fast, we'll do nafal fast, we'll do hajj upon hajj. And those are the hard actions, we're doing them. Imagine, the opposite we're doing. Opposite. And we think this is hard, which is the real practice, which is to leave the sins. And Allah's put such a great result in this. Even today, brother was speaking on the phone from Pakistan, and he said that really, verily, Allah Ta'ala, he said, I've seen myself that I, to leave the sins, I couldn't even imagine leaving the sins. But when I understood the right direction and path, and I promised to Allah that I will not do this action anymore, he said, wallahi, every sin I started to shun and discard, I was so angry in my heart, I want to do this to this person, that to that person. Then I said, this is a big sin. How do I leave this? But alhamdulillah, when I said that after this I cannot get success, that as soon as I left that sin, he said that that anger doesn't even come back to me anymore. I don't even know what is anger. That is how easy it is. So right direction, to do the right direction, follow the right direction, we need to make effort for success, my friends, alhamdulillah. So what is the point here? Basic ibadah, faraid, compulsory, commit to that. And work harder on factor number 2, which is make a list of your sins every day. Think that which sins am I committing, bad things, and in your heart should be clean, your batin should be clean, your inner state should be clean, and good results should come out. The sins, what does a sin do to a person? Doesn't matter the sin, what does it do to a person inside? Is that, may Allah forgive, another word Allah has used, dhulumat, Allah says, dhulumat, darkness. Intensity of darkness. Can you see anything in the darkness? Tell me. In the darkness, can you see anything when there's darkness around you? So the human being commits the sins, then he goes into darkness, totally darkness, intensity of darkness. When he's in the darkness, he has no manners or consideration what he's doing. He can't define anything correctly. He can't see the right from the wrong. He doesn't know what he's doing. Why? What's he doing with who? Who should say do what with somebody? His reasoning is lost because he's gone into the darkness. يُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. This is the point that Allah Ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. The darkness, intensity of darkness, Allah takes the person out of the darkness and he brings him into the illumination, into the light, into visibility. This is the sin. What it takes us, we don't even know. The hadith is stated when a person commits sins, immediately a dot is applied to his heart. Darkness comes onto his heart. Immediate dot. Then he commits another sin, carries on. Eventually the heart becomes totally black. Black. Sealed. And he's not bothered then. He doesn't care about anyone. He doesn't care what he's doing. And he becomes totally disrespectful and rude. And his mouth opens. He doesn't know. He has no feelings, awareness. And as soon as he does tawbah, repents on his sins and leaves the sins, then he says, Yaar, I did this action, this murder I committed. Ooh, I could not have done this murder. Me, how did I commit this sin? And to the extent of murder. Yes, so much darkness a person falls into, he is lost in the darkness. Lost in the darkness. So there's only one cure for that. You should understand, I'm in the darkness, I'm lost, I want light, illumination, guidance. Immediately you should do tawbah, repent to Allah. immediately do tawbah, and his heart should be upset and distressed. You know, we call it depression or distress. These are due to the sins. And his heart becomes black. As soon as you do tawbah, you repent, say, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why am I doing this? Alhamdulillah, your heart will start to unravel. Open up. Open up. Ajib, beautiful feeling, emotions will overtake your heart. After repentance, very great method Allah has given to us. So Allah Ta'ala, may He save us all from the sins. May Allah save us all from the sins. May Allah make our zahir and batin clean. This is what we need to work hard on, make effort on. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. If this is the case, that we have enough strength, we are leaving the sins, and then on top of the alhamdulillah, we're praying ishraq, pray tahajjud, pray charge, then you have nur, light beyond light. Light upon light then comes into your life. Extra. Then it's your light, not just for, if you put a dish and a chapati, that fills the stomach, isn't it? So the farai, the light, that they fill the stomach. But when your stomach is healthy, mashallah, and you're healthy physically, then you can have biryani, pilau, halwa, gajar halwa, everything then can be consumed. Then you get enjoyment from the extra. The same way when a person leaves the sins, he's pure and clean inside, then he can pray tahajjud, nafal, ishraq, and then tilawat, recitation, Quran, hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah. Not that these are wrong. Nafal ibadah is not wrong. These are great actions indeed, nafal ibadah. Optional worship, extra worship. And I say, why do I say that we should refrain from doing too much? Because you're wasting your nafal ibadah, that you're working hard, but you're wasting it. Because sins are then wasting it. So first, save yourself from the sins, perfect yourself when you leave the sins, then start emphasizing on nafal ibadah. I'm not saying leave it, nafal ibadah, discard it, shun it, leave hajj, leave this and that. This is not the objective. First, perfect yourself through leaving the sins. First, go on to the right path. Right path, right direction, then right effort. This is the way. Then you'll understand all your ibadah will be accepted, included. Allah Ta'ala is attained. His nearness is attained by nafal. Closeness to Allah is through nafal ibadah. Tahajjud, what a great ibadah. Great action, tahajjud. It cannot be that person doesn't pray tahajjud and ishraq and he doesn't, Allah's nearness, dhikrullah. Subhanallah. So leave the sins and do dhikrullah. Is there anyone that can compare to that person's level? On the day of resurrection, on the day of resurrection, when everybody will be there and they'll be worried in their own state. I've told you this hadith many times over. This hadith tells us that people will be in a bad state on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. There'll be some people who will be sat on the thrones of light, nur. Nur. They'll be sat on thrones of nur, seats of light, and their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night, the full moon. And everyone on the day of judgment will shriek out, Allah, who are these people? Prophets, walis, friends of Allah. Who are these people? Look so beautiful, handsome, when everyone else is running around and stuck in their difficulties. How did they attain this maqam? Allah, who are these people, Allah? They'll ask the people on the day of judgment. Allah's Nabi Sallam said, when this will be asked, Allah will respond. Allah will respond. These are those people. These are those people. Which amal? Do you know what action? That this is the words of the hadith. That what reward, what action gave them this reward? Allah Ta'ala will explain. Do you know which action? Do you know which action they committed in the world that I'm giving them this ajr right now? Allah, what was the action in the world? Allah said, these were those people who sat together and did dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So what is the maqam? Dhikr is a great action. But dhikr done after a person leaves the sins. Which dhikr will be the one that's accepted? That a person shuns the sins and then performs dhikrullah. Say subhanallah. That person leaves the sins and does dhikrullah. That then becomes the effect of his dhikr. The person who commits sins and keeps on knocking the tasbih, then he doesn't see the effect of his dhikr. He will not see the consequences of dhikr. My Hazrat Sahib used to say, Rahimullah, may Allah have mercy on him and may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and elevate his status. Ameen. He stated that look, if you are shunning the sins, leaving the sins, discarding the sins, subhanallah, if you're shunning the sins, leaving the sins, your anger is eliminated, inside your batin, which was dirty, is becoming pure and clean and improved. Then, Hazrat Sahib said, that dhikr is accepted and definitely is accepted. This is Hazrat Sahib's words. That he has affected you positively if you're doing dhikr, But your sins have not been removed, and your eyes are committing evil actions, your tongue is saying dirty things, and your bad evil thoughts, and anger is coming, and backbiting, and gossip mongering, and talking rubbish, and you're knocking the tasbih, tuck, 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 Allah, 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 Allah. Then it's stated that dhikr is not genuine, not giving. The effect is the fake. Then Hazrat Sahib said, the meaning of this is that your dhikr is not taking effect. For this, you need to work harder to leave the sins. Look here. Totally a person should analyze himself, self-analysis. Am I right? Is my work going the right direction or not right? Am I leaving this? Don't just go in the blind alley, just go tasbih, and I'm Naqshbandi, and I've got tasbih in my hand, and I do dhikr, and I do this, and I do that, and I wear the imamah and keep the beard. This is not the sign of success. No. No. Analyze yourself. Am I on the right path? Is are my efforts the correct ones? How much is the sin reducing my life? How much has greed reduced inside? How much dunya has come out of my heart? How much has fraud and lying come out? How much has deception come out of my life? Is this right what I'm saying or not, my friends? You're not upset with what I'm saying, are you? This is the point we need to understand. That's it. Quran is prescribing this to us. So Allah Ta'ala may give us all the tawfiq ability that we can implement this. So brothers, today this is our lesson, the summary, that sins we need to pay attention more to shunning this. Today our fashion and lifestyle is different. We don't care about sins. We don't think about sins. In other words, we don't even consider the sin as a sin. This is how bad it's got, the problem. Where's it written? Where's it written? This is a statement, very common. In Punjabi, kithe likhe? Where is it written? Who said this? Where is it recorded? This is a sin. Who says this is a sin? Tell me. They even say this today, people. Which kitab is it written? Which book? What shall we do? Everyone else in the world is doing it. You're telling us don't do it? Isn't this a common statement today? Tell me. Yes, can you get success by saying this? Allah said, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. Pure! That human being will be, only he will be successful who is pure. The people of the world, they say he's muttaqi, he's pious, he stays in the mosque all day long, he does worship, he's reached, he's arrived. No, no, minus that person, minus. Doesn't matter how much sin does he leave, how pure is he inside. The more he's pure inside and clean, Allah says, the more successful will that human being be. That's it. And how does he attain purity? He does not commit the sins. He shouldn't commit the sins. That's it. Doesn't commit the sins, then do as much ibadah as you want after that. Do as much ibadah as you want after that. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability to practice upon this. Ameen. Recite the rutri.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa zawjihi ummatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baytihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman abadan Kadiran, kadiran, kadiran. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana wa khatwana wa amdana kulla dhalika indana. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghis. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghis. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghis. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا ولا تعتها اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واغفرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واشرنا بسنته يا كريم اللهم إنا لو ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والآخرة يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافع الأمراض اشف أمراضنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا الله جو بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما جو پریشان حالوں کی پریشانی کو دور فرما جو مصیبتوں میں پھنسے میرے مولا ان کی مصیبتوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ جو بے روزگار ہیں ان کو روزگار نصیب فرما یا اللہ جو جس حالت کے اندر ہے میرا مولا یا اللہ پریشانیوں میں مصیبتوں میں پریشانیوں میں میرے مولا اپنے فضل خاص ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما ہمارے رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں خوشحالی نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں خوشحالی نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں دشمنوں سے بچا یا اللہ جادوگروں سے بچا حاسدوں سے بچا یا اللہ مکاروں سے بچا منافقین سے بچا یا اللہ نقصان دینے والے لوگوں سے بچا یا اللہ شر پہنچانے والے انسانوں سے بچا اے میرا مولا تو ہماری حفاظت فرما ہماری ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے گھروں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں میں محبت پیدا فرما ہم میں اتفاق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہم میں اتفاق پیدا فرما یا اللہ امت میں اتفاق پیدا فرما یا اللہ فرقہ گری سے ہمیں معاف فرما یا اللہ ہر پریشانیوں سے ہر مصیبتوں سے ہر بلاؤں سے ہر ناگہانی مصیبتوں سے میرے مولا تو ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے عزیز ساتھی یہ ذکر کے میرے مولا رفیق بابا ان کی چند سالہ بچی کا انتقال ہو گیا میرے مولا تیرے حکم سے ہے تیرے منشا سے ہے تیری پسند سے ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ تو صبر عطا فرما ان کو ان کے والدین کو صبر دے میرے مولا یا اللہ ان کو صبر بھی دے اس کا اجر بھی دے میرے مولا یا اللہ اس صدمے کو برداشت کرنے کی ان کی میرے مولا توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اس بچی کو تو جنت میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما یا اللہ جس طرح وہ ذاکر شاکر عابدہ لڑکی تھی میرے مولا جس قدر میرے مولا نے خاتون تھی یا کریم بہت جلدی تم نے اپنی رحمت میں اسے بلا لیا یا اللہ اس کی قبر کو جنت کی کیاری بنا جنت میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما یا اللہ کروٹ کروٹ اس کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ اپنی شان کے مطابق تو جنتیں عطا فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ شان کے مطابق اس کو اپنی جنتیں نصیب فرما یا رحم رحمین اپنے فضل سے اپنے کرم سے جتنے بھی ہمارے لواحقین اس دنیا سے جا چکے میرے مولا ان سب کی مغفرت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.